Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Dream Big podcast with Bob Goff and friends. This is your co-host, Scott Schimmel. And today, Bob, I'm excited to have Lisa Bevere on the show. I only know her as a conference speaker and an author, but you know her differently than that. How do you know Lisa?
Oh, we've been friends for the longest time. She is fiery and sassy and fun and really tenderhearted. It's crazy. For those of you that haven't experienced Lisa before, she's just got a lot of energy and passion for what she talks about, really wants to speak and empower women. But I want you to hear the things she talks to women about, to me and us as men as well.
So if you're at home, as I'm sure you are, like Bob and I are and Lisa is, take out a journal, listen in. And she's a deep thinker. She's deep in her faith. And she has something to share with us. So listen in.
Lisa, thank you so much for jumping on the phone. It's so good to be talking to you. I'm actually, for those of you that are listening, I'm looking at my friend Lisa Bevere right now.
Yes, we are both home, living the life.
Yes, it's actually, this is a period of time where we get to see each other. Actually, you and I see each other a lot, but it's always at a gathering. Mm-hmm. And you're just about to jump on, and I've just said something, and I was always the warm-up band, and then you have something to say. But one of the things that is true about you is that you speak truth, and you are one of the people that are of a very small group of people that I consider the people that are speaking truth over my life. And I want to thank you about that. You've spoken grandbabies into our life. You've just done, it's really been beautiful. So just such a treat to be doing that.
You know what? I have learned so much of truth in love from you. And I love the way you love people. And you've taught me so definitively that you don't have to compromise truth to love people. And I love the way you model that, Bob. And you just encouraged myself, my entire family. We talk about being kind to somebody that maybe in the moment we don't feel like deserves it. We'll say, let's Bob Goff them. Let's just be
kind to them. That's awesome. I'm actually the guy that doesn't deserve it most of the time, that kind of kindness. And I think what we all have to figure out is that we're just not as lovable as we think we are all the time. What we need to have is something a little bit bigger. And I'm just so stoked that you had a book called Stronger. Tell us about that. Tell us about Strong.
Yeah. So a year ago when I wrote Strong, my publisher said, hey, let's talk about women being strong. And let's talk about what we need to actually weave into our core being so that we rise up strong and we go from strength to strength. And one of the concepts I think a lot of Christian women feel less than if they're strong. If they get sent this message that strong is wrong, that being a Christian woman means you should be quiet, it means you should be passive. And then there's us, me, who rides a ninja motorcycle, who likes to surf and used to shoot guns. You know, this is me, not people, ever people, just guns. And so now all of a sudden I'm like, how do I fit into this Christian, I don't play an organ world. I don't know what's happened. And I had a conversation with this beautiful younger friend of mine. And she had just come out of a meeting where all of that had been put on her, where they told her, you're kind of too much over here and you're not enough over here and you're not fitting our package. And while I was listening to her angst in this, Bob, out of my spirit, I just said to her, you know what? Strong is not wrong. And she just went, you're right. And I began to think, we need to give permission to people to be strong. Because when you don't give women or men valid permission to be strong, then they go in an invalid way. Because we all know we were created to have strength, to have influence, to have contribution, to have connection. And so it was just important for me to have devotions that were bite-sized pieces where I could speak over to them. I'm turning 60 this year. What I wish I would have known when I was 30, what I wish I would have known when I was 25, what I wish I would have known at 40, and telling them to celebrate some small victories. You know, I raised four boys, which I don't even remember potty training the last one. He's married now, so I know he's potty trained, but it's a blessed blur in my life. And I just remember going to bed every single night with a long list of failures, thinking, I didn't do this enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't read my Bible enough. I yelled too much. I did this too much. And I never had this list of victories. And I want to see moms have lists of victories when they go to bed. I want women to start their day with just a little something. If it's just strong is not wrong. I want something that they can put in their heart and it can carry them through the day. So we do scripture, practical application, use the embarrassing examples for me. Then we go with prayer and a declaration.
I'm so glad you've done this. And I'm so glad that you're going to be speaking so much truth to so many women. But I'm telling you, the guys on behalf of the other half of Earth, there's something really important that we need to know, that kindness isn't weak. Because sometimes we get a lot of this bravado going and we think that being kind and being understanding and one of the things that we've spent some time talking about behind different stages is how we just don't need to swing at every pitch. I know because of our friendship, we've been able to just jump on some phone calls to just say, like, what do you do when you're misunderstood? And what do I do when I'm misunderstood? And one of the things that I've reconciled myself to is this idea that following Jesus is going to be a life of being constantly misunderstood. I mean, they killed him. What's going to happen to you and I is we'll be misunderstood. But I don't want young and old women everywhere to be asking men for permission to speak their mind. I think that what we need to do is to say, you're here, you're strong, you're capable, tell us what you have. Otherwise, I feel like I just speaking as a man, I feel like we're getting every other verse of the Bible. I want to get all of them, and I don't want to have half of them have to raise their hand to say, may I please say something really meek right now? And to say, like, wow. And I don't want the other half, a bunch of bros dominating the conversation or thumping their chest. So I think just for all of us, if we could just take a breath, chill out, listen to one another, and what we have to say. I know I've learned a tremendous amount from you. And I love that you're wild and Sicilian. Like, that is just, you're just all go, all gas, no break. I love that about you. I celebrate that in you.
Thank you.
You probably get a little bit of pushback every once in a while, huh?
Yes, I do. I do. You know what's been amazing for me, and I love what you're saying, and I love that my husband actually likes me being strong. My husband said, Lisa, I'm kind of a bulldozer, so I prayed for a strong wife, or I'll just run somebody over. But one of the things that I've learned is you don't have to be harsh to be strong. It actually takes a whole lot more strength to lift people than it does to hold them down. And I love that you're saying, let's lift women. And that is going to require, and let's lift men. You know, my husband and I, everything shifted when we stopped talking to one another as though we were adversarial. Like, this is my idea. Well, this is my idea. Well, this is my, and we began to say, let's fight for something. Let's fight for our relationship. Let's not just fight. Let's actually listen. Let's actually hear one another. And I'll just be honest with you. I've been married for 38 years, and I learned everything right by doing it wrong first. And so I just don't want the next generation to repeat my mistakes. And, you know, it's not hard, but it does get kind of lost. And you and I know that following Jesus, he doesn't give us a bunch of complicated orders. It's very simple, but it's not easy. And so what I've had to learn, if I want to be heard, I need to say it the way I'd want to hear it. I don't like to be yelled at. I don't like to be threatened. I don't like to be demeaned. And really nobody does. So if I want to learn how to be a strong woman and have strong relationships, I'm going to have to change my approach and understand that as a woman, I'm not a second-class citizen. I'm God's first love. And
we've been talking a little bit about this thought bubble that we each have, you know, in the cartoons, they have the thought bubble and there's all the stuff that fills the thought bubble. And for some people like me, I need to make sure I leave some of that stuff in the thought bubble, that I don't let it leak out. And so sometimes what will happen is our insecurities or a false sense of bravado or something will let these things leak out. And it isn't all men, it'll be women as well. Some women, I think, are leaving things in the thought bubble that they need to release into the world. Beautiful things, insightful things, kind things, sometimes difficult things. Tell me this, one of the things that you've released from your thought bubble over me for years and years is some of the ambitions. We'll sit at a table somewhere in another country, sipping tea, and you talk about your ambitions for your family, your ambitions for your marriage, your ambitions. Tell us about some of the ambitions that you have right now in your life, because I think that's where we learn from each other.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I actually feel like I'm starting to glimpse some of my dreams and ambitions for my family. I have always, since I first started having children, which you know now has translated into the joy for you of grandchildren, I have always wanted to see my sons and now my grandsons and granddaughters go further and farther. And that means that if I want my children to inherit something more than what I can give them, I need to lean into God's promises and away from my fears. And that was something for me that I'm seeing my boys do marriage better. I'm seeing Addison and Juliana, my daughter-in-law and my son, do parenting better. I read Addison's first book saying, okay, really? I've never written anything that good in my entire life. I'm watching him write things, capture things, use words, quote people that are all dead. I'm like, what in the world? He has brought all of my good forward, left like a wise steward, the ridiculous stuff, and merged it with his strength. This is my ambition. And my ambition is that my kids will continue to learn from my mistakes, that they'll go further and farther. For my marriage, you know, this is a new season. You and Maria inspired me. I got a puppy. Thank God I've got a puppy. But I am alone with my husband. And it's different. It's different. I'm kind of like, ooh, there's no buffer. It's just us.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
I beg my children. I bribe them with food. Come to my house. I will feed you. Come to my house. We'll give you games. Sometimes they're like, yes, we're on our way. Sometimes they're like, you know what? We're going to cuddle and watch a movie. I'm like, what? So I don't like that, but then it makes me super happy. I mean, John and I last night tried to bribe them with some games. And they said, yeah, we don't want to play Monopoly Deal with you. We want to sit home with each other. And we looked at each other and we said, how awesome.
Yeah.
That all they want to do is be with each other. And well, it's not because of any kind of virus. It's because they actually love each other.
I've got a question for you in relationships. This idea of being strong, sometimes our weakest point is when we have disappointments. Somebody that we're married to, somebody that we've trusted, somebody that is in our close circle of friends has let us down. Even a stranger with a sharp word, they can like find its way to you or me. One of the things that we need to take a look at is how we deal with that, either criticism or disappointments. And when my feelings get hurt, I'm a super bubbly guy, but I totally turtle. I go arms, legs, tail, head, inside the shell, and I am just under the ice cap. How do you deal with disappointments or having your feelings hurt?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I used to do your turtle approach, and one of my sons really helped me because I often thought, well, maybe they just didn't understand what I was saying. So I'll try to explain it again. And then they'd attack you again. I'm like, okay, maybe if I say it from this angle, and then they attack you again. And my son came down and he said, Mom, some people just don't want to understand, and you are taking this personally. And this has absolutely nothing to do with you. And so he said, stop stop. I'm going to take your phone, because it was a social media interaction. I'm going to take your phone if you don't stop. And I said, okay. And the next morning I got up and I heard, Lisa, let your critics refine you, not define you. And I was allowing random strangers to wound me with careless words when I can't let them do that. And you shared, look at their page, find out something that you can learn from them.
Yeah, and bingo. Say,
goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, my friend. Some people, I don't feel like I need to say goodbye, but I will say, I feel like I've had a better understanding of where people are coming from, so it does not hit me the way it's hit me in the past. I do remember you one time. I had a devastating faux pas, and you just texted me out of the blue, and I just want to remind you of who you are in case the enemy is trying to tell you somebody else. And that, I think, encouraging myself in the one who created me. He alone is the one who can define me. He is the one who knows not only who I've been, but who I am becoming. And so I welcome constructive criticism. I actually really love my friends that will give that to me in a way, because they understand I want to grow. But there's some people, they just want to diminish and destroy. And that's not strong. That's a frenemy. And knowing the difference is really important.
One of the things we spent some time talking about is like carving this new groove in our brain, because you need to find a new way to deal with people that are difficult, or a new pattern, even for strong men and women, that they need to bust free of some of the roles that they've had to pursue their ambitions. What would you say to both men and women about the roles that they have as they've kind of defined them, and how we can break out of that role so we can pursue their ambition? Because there might be somebody that's listening to this. I bet there's going to be a whole bunch of people that have an ambition, but they feel like I've got a role that I play in my family, in the church, in my community. And it just feels like that's the impediment to me going after what in my heart has been my ambition for a decade. What would you say to them?
Well, I would echo your dream big. And I would also tell them that God weaves things into our heart that have desperate longings, not just for us, but for our world. And that we needed them to go ahead and take the risk and move beyond. You know, strong men build strong women, and strong women build strong men. We don't get our strength by taking it from one another. We get our strength when together we understand that we are building something. And so I think that when we as women have conversations of shrinking back, why am I shrinking back? Is it because I'm afraid that if I actually rise up in this area, I'm going to get a kickback? You are. But what is the risk? So when I look at my beautiful granddaughters, when I look at these women all around the world that would look to me as a leader, I realize that by shrinking, I'm actually taking some sign blocks and putting roadblocks in their way. So I don't have the right to shrink when other people need me to rise. And so I would say, you know, it's never too late. If we're going to quote C.S. Lewis, it's never too late to dream another dream. It's never too late. We need you to actually get in the presence of God and let him whisper. You know, whenever I pray, Bob, it's interesting. I hear God whisper over me beautiful words of destiny. He does not bring up my history. He does not bring up my failings. He speaks to my strengths. He always calls me daughter. He always calls me by that relationship. He doesn't say John's wife. He says Lisa. He calls me by name. And I think too many of us, we have not realized that who we are to God is more important than what we can do. But yet when we realize that love relationship, then we do it with him instead of without him. You know, I'm going to say something, and I hope, and maybe you can help me if I don't say it right. But when I first became a Christian, you and I are the same age. When I first became a Christian back in the early 80s, it was popular to pray, God, use me, use me, use me to do this, use me to do this, use me to do this. So I'm like, okay, that's what they're doing. That needs to be part of my prayer. And so I was a young mother with one kid, and I was home And I was like, God, use me. God, use me. And I swear, I heard God say, Lisa, have you ever been used by a friend? And I said, yes. And he said, did you like it? And I said, no. And he said, were you ever used by a boyfriend? I'm like, you're not supposed to remember that. And he said, but you didn't like it, did you? And I said, no. And he said, Lisa, I don't use people. I anoint them. I heal them. I save them. I transform them. But I am not interested in what I can get out of you and then throw you away. He said, I want you to understand you and I together. That is the important thing. And everything that you do with me needs to come out of that. See, God will use situations in our life. He's used lessons I've learned, but people are not disposable to God, but they are to Satan. And even people are disposable, sadly, to our culture. But God doesn't want to use you up and toss you aside. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know his love, and he wants you to understand that that relationship is our strength. David said in Psalm 18:1, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. There you go.
One of the things, if you're listening, the find a wide spot in the road and pull over. If there's something that Lisa has said that pings you, there's an ambition that you've had, there's a thought that came to mind as you're hearing the conversation, I'd like you to write it down. You can write it on the dashboard of your car. You can write it on the dashboard of your friend's car. But I just don't want you to say, that was really neat hearing what Lisa had to say, but instead to say, what am I going to do about this? There's a great verse in James. It's like not just being hearers and getting to see it, but actually doing this stuff. So think about next steps for you as you're listening to this and to say, where do we go from here? And then get past some of the setbacks. You probably know, Lisa, we bought this Young Life camp that came up for sale, which is crazy. Maybe like Miles Adcox and I did it. And another friend, Jamie Kern. And it's 150 acres out here. And it's a place where people gather. And now it's illegal to gather. What a bad idea. But one of the things that's so cool about this is I was reading, I'm such a fan of Walt Disney, and I spent so much time at Disneyland. Do you know how big Disneyland is? 150 no. acres. And I'm like, all I need is a Matterhorn because we got no lines. So one of the things I want people to think about is what do you already have? Even if it felt like it was a mistake at the moment, I'm telling you, everything, if you read some of Walt's memoirs, a lot of the things that he sought were a mistake actually ended up to be the way. He got Disneyland's 150 acres because he got turned down for getting 7 acres in Burbank. Now that is a different vibe. It's Burbank's nice, but it ain't Disneyland. And so that was where Disneyland was supposed to happen. And because he got an inexplicable no, he bought an orange field. And so I got some crazy things that happened in my life. I got a bunch of acres out in San Diego, and it makes me think, what is it, if you're listening, that you got? You got a relationship. You've got a wayward child. You've got a friend that lets you down. You've got a marriage that's being really difficult right now. You're a person that's in a role and you've got an ambition, but you can't get it out. And I'm just doing the Jedi move over you. I just want you to get back to building that rocket ship that's supposed to be your life. What it's going to take is a little guts. You are fiery, and it'll be interesting for people to say, well, yeah, that works for Lisa Brevere because she is fiery and gutsy and sassy and reverent at the same time. But what about me? And I'm telling you, Lisa, what would you say to them?
Oh, please, we need you to do it. One of the things I loved with this whole dynamic of the heroes of faith, which, you know, we come from some messed up people. I mean, like Sarah and Abraham. No. Take my handmaiden. Oh, I'm going to beat my handmaiden. I mean, there's some craziness. And yet God said, I'm going to do something amazing in them because they're going to give me permission to make something out of nothing. Abraham, it said it started with him when he gave God permission to make someone out of no one. And that's what God, that's his thing he is the expert on. And yes, I may be sassy and Sicilian now, but you'd have to go back to a 25-year-old girl who lost an eye to cancer when she was five, who lived in constant terror of people looking at her, whose husband had to beg her to just even speak or dream, who was afraid of everything and brave about nothing. And I stood on the shores in Hawaii, Bob, when I was about 30, and I was counting my kids to make sure no one drowned. And I was standing on the shore and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You love swimming. Go out there in those waves. Go out where it's over your head and out of control. Go out where you almost can drown." I'm like, "Nope, not anymore. Not anymore." That was when I was young. And he said, "Nope, Lisa, I'm going to take you back to where you used to be." And the people that are listening right now, there was not always this fear in your life. There was this wild thing. Somebody told you couldn't be an astronaut. Somebody told you that you couldn't do these things. Well, we are excited because you're maybe like us saying, "I'm a nobody." That's what I said. And God said, "That's what I work with. That is what I do the best with. When you give me your weakness, I'm going to flip it around and give you back my strength." So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what you're going to dare to hope, dare to dream. And hey, Bob, those 150 acres, they're going to be the best thing you ever did.
It's just, come on. I just know it. It's like Tom Sawyer Island.
I can't wait to come and see him.
Yeah. Well, so you've got another book coming out called Godmother. And tell me about that. For those of you that have ever read Lisa's books, they will captivate you. They will encourage you. Give us the premise of Godmother.
So, I am half Sicilian. So I am trying to leverage a little bit of that. But the whole premise was Godmothers, why you need one, how to be one. And the truth is, we need people who will come alongside of us and meet us at intersections of crisis in our life and transform everything that looks like a nightmare into a dream. So we'll talk about Cinderella. What did she do? Her godmother shows up. All the evil sisters have gone to the ball. But what did she do? She actually transformed Cinderella's rags to this beautiful, amazing garment. She gave her everything she needed. She gave her the pumpkin. It becomes a carriage, all these different things. But we have a disconnect between the generations. And so what I want to do is, at my 60-year-old age, embrace my Sicilian, embrace my ability to make connections with people at intersections and say, "Hey, I'm going to help you transform what looks like trouble into triumph. And you're going to have a little reminder. It's going to be your glass slipper. It's going to be that thing that identifies you. It's going to be that thing that elevates you." And just really setting a generation on a path where they can inherit the promise and not the pain. So
one of the things that I want you to do, if you're listening, is to be thinking about these ambitions that you have. And you could even take the ambition to appoint yourself as a godparent to somebody. You don't have to ask for permission. If there's a theme in this, it's to quit asking for permission to do things that you've already been given permission to do. We're like trying to try out for a role that we already cast for. And so what we're cast for is to be there for one another in really meaningful ways and to connect with one another. And so I just appreciate you. Thank you so much, Lisa, for making time to visit a little bit and for having a fire in your belly and for just being a really good friend. One of the handful of people that I have called before in difficult times to just say, "Hey, I just want to talk to somebody super safe." And if you're listening, be one of those people that are just super, super safe. And that could be perhaps your greatest ambition. You won't, build a dam and give water to a million people. What you'll do is give one cup of cool water to a person who needs it right there. And that's the stuff that we're going to be talking to Jesus about for eternity. So thank you, G. I am really, really grateful for you spending the time.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much. It's so great to see you.
The most frequent questions we hear at Dream Big are actually really simple. The questions are this: how do I do it? How do I focus on my ambitions and bring them to life? How do I reorganize everything and move towards these dreams that are inside me?
That's what Dream Big is all about. And we want to give you an actual resource that you can use so that you can move from your ideas and your ambitions to reality. So go to the link in the show notes, download a really simple workbook that you can use today.
Well, Bob, the thing that I think stuck out to me in your conversation, a lot of times when we're talking about dreaming big and finding your ambitions, we're thinking about projects to start, books to write, organizations to found. But she talks a lot about her family and having ambitions lived out through the people that she's raised. And I don't think we talk enough about that. So what do you how did that strike you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the idea of loving people within arm's reach, whether it's a family that you have or other close relationships that you have, but you just love people right where you're at and to know why you're doing what you're doing. That's one thing that I've known of Lisa for as long as we've been friends. She's actually really clear on why she's doing what she's doing. And I just hope that I can have that kind of clarity in my life as well. And if you're listening and some of these things pinged you, don't just write it down and say, what a swell idea. Say, what am I going to do about this? What is it that is my next move?
Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. We will see you next week.